Chapter 35. Still Bloody Lizards.
"The future is lizard," said Ridcully, "obviously."
It was a few days later. The omniscope was focused on a mound of leaves and rotting vegetation a little way from the banks of the river. There was a large depression hanging over the senior wrangler, and the dean had a black eye. The war between land and sea had just entered a terminal stage.
"Little portable seas," said Ponder. "You know, I never thought of them like that."
"An egg is an egg, however you look at it," said Ridcully. "Look, you two, I don't want to see a scuffle like that again, do you hear?"
The senior wrangler dabbed at his bleeding nose.
"E good it be," he said. "It's still bosun's, however you look at it."
"A private ocean full of food," said Ponder, still entranced. "Hidden in a heap of, well, compost, which heats up. That's like having private sunshine." The little lizard-like creatures that had hatched from the eggs in the mound slithered and slid down the bank into the water, bright-eyed and hopeful. The first few were instantly snapped up by a large male lying in wait among the weeds.
"However, the mothers still have something to learn about postnatal care," said Ridcully. "I wonder if they'll have time to learn. And how do they know how to do this? Who's telling them?"
The wizards were depressed again. Most days started that way now. Creatures seemed to turn up in the world randomly, and certainly not according to any pictures in a book. If things were changing into other things, and no one had seen that happen yet, why were the original things still the original things? If the land was so great, why were any fish left in the sea? The air-breathing fishes that Rincewind had seen still seemed to be around, lurking in swamps and muddy beaches. Things changed, but still stayed the same. And if there was any truth at all in Ponder's tentative theory that things did change into other things, it led to the depressing thought that, well, the world was filling up with quitters. Creatures which, instead of staying where they were and really making a go of life in the ocean or the swamp or wherever, were running away to lurk in some niche and grow legs. The kind of fish that had come out of water was frankly a disgrace to the species. It kept coughing all the time, like someone who'd just given up smoking. And there was no purpose, Ridcully kept saying. Life was on land. According to the book, there should be some big lizards, but nothing seemed to be making much of an effort. The moment anything felt safe, it stopped bothering. Rincewind, currently relaxing on a rock, rather liked it. There were large animals snuffling around in the greenery near the rock he was sitting on. In general shape and appearance, they looked like a small, skinny hippopotamus, designed in the dark by a complete amateur. They were hairy. They coughed, too. Things that were doing sufficiently beetle-like things for him to think of them as beetles ambled across the ground. Ponder had told him the continents were moving again, so he kept a firm grip on his rock just in case. Best of all, nothing seemed to be thinking. Rincewind was convinced that no good came of that sort of thing. The last few weeks of Discworld time had been instructive. The wizards had tentatively identified several dozen embryo civilizations, or at least creatures that seemed to be concerned about more than simply where the next meal was coming from. And where were they now? There was a squid one, Hex said, out in the really deep cold water. Apart from that, ice or fire or both at once came to the thinkers and the stupid alike. There was probably some kind of moral involved. The air shimmered, and half a dozen ghostly figures appeared in front of him. There were, in pale shadowy colours, the wizards. Silvery lines flickered across their bodies, and periodically they flickered. "Now remember," said Ponder Stibbons, and his voice sounded muffled, "you are in fact still in the high-energy magic building. If you walk slowly, Hex will try to adjust your feet to local ground level. You'll have a limited ability to move things, although Hex will do the actual work."
"Can we eat?" said the senior wrangler.
"No, sir, your mouth isn't here."
"Well then, what am I talking out of?"
"Could be anyone's guess, sir," said Ponder diplomatically. "We can hear you because our ears are in the HEM, and you can hear the sounds made here because Hex is presenting you with an analogue of them. Don't worry about it. It'll seem quite natural after a while." The ghost of the dean kicked at the soil. A fraction of a second later, a little heap of earth splashed up.
"Amazing,"
he said happily.
"Excuse me," said Rincewind. They turned.
"Oh, Rincewind," said Ridcully, as one might say, "Oh dear, it's raining." "It's you."
"Yes, sir."
Mr. Stibbons here has found a way of getting Hex to operate more than one virtually their suit, you see? So we thought we'd come down and smell the roses.
Not for several hundred million years, sir, said Ponder.
Dull, isn't it? Said the lecturer in recent runes, looking around. Not a lot going on. Lots of life, but it's just hanging around.
Ridcully rubbed his hands together.
Well, we're going to liven it up, he said. We're going to move things forward fast while we're here. A few prods in the right place, that's what these creatures need.
The time-travelling is not much fun, said Rincewind. You tend to end up under a volcano or at the bottom of the sea.
We shall see, said Ridcully firmly. I've had enough of this. Look at those damned sloppy things over there.
He cupped his hands and shouted,
Life in the sea not good enough for you, eh? Skiving off, eh? Got a note from your mother, have you?
He lowered his hands.
All right, Mr. Stibbons. Tell Hex to take us forward. Oh, 50 million years. Hang on, what was that?
Thunder rolled around the horizon.
Probably just another snowball landing, said Rincewind morosely. There's generally one around just when things are settled. It was in the sea, I expect. Stand by for the tidal wave.
He nodded at the browsing creatures, who had glanced up briefly.
The Dean thinks all this hammering from rocks is making the life on this world very resilient, said Ridcully.
Well, that's certainly a point of view, said Rincewind. But in a little while, a wave the size of the university is going to wash this beach onto the top of those mountains over there. Then I expect the local volcanoes will all let go again, so stand by for a country-sized sea of lava coming the other way. After that, there'll probably be outbreaks of rain that you could use to etch copper, followed by a bit of a cold spell for a few years, and some fog you could cut up in lumps, he sniffed. That which does not kill you can give you a really bad headache.
He glanced at the sky. Strange lightning was flickering between the clouds, and now there was a glow on the horizon.
Damn, he said in the same tone of voice, this is going to be one of the times when the atmosphere catches fire. I hate it when that happens.
Ridcully gave him a long, blank look, and then said,
Mr. Stibbons.
Arch-Chancellor?
Make that 70,000 years, will you? And, right now, if you would be so good.
The wizards vanished. All the insects stopped buzzing in the bushes. The hairy lizards carried on placidly eating the leaves. Then something made them look up. The sun jerked across the sky, became very briefly a reddish-yellow band across a twilight hemisphere, and then the world was simply a grey mist. Below Rincewind's feet it was quite dark, and above him it was almost white. Around him the greyness flickered.
"Is this what it always looks like?" said the Dean.
"Something has to stand still for a couple of thousand years before you see it at all," said Rincewind.
"I thought it would be more exciting."
The light flickered, and sun exploded into the sky. The wizards saw waves around them for a moment, and then there was darkness.
I told you, said Rincewind, we're underwater.
The land sank under all the volcanoes, said Ridcully.
Probably just moved away, said Rincewind. There's a lot of that sort of thing down here.
They rose above the surface as Hex adjusted to the new conditions. A landmass was smeared on the horizon under a bank of cloud.
See, said Rincewind, it's a pain. Time travel always means you end up walking.
Hex, move us to the nearest land, please. Inland about 10 miles, said Ponder.
You mean I could have just asked, said Rincewind. All this time I needn't have been walking.
Oh, yes.
The landscape blurred for a second.
You could have said, said Rincewind accusingly, as they were rushed past and sometimes through a forest of giant ferns.
The view stabilised. The wizards had been brought to the edge of the forest. Low-growing shrubs stretched away towards more ferns.
"Not much about," said Ridcully, leaning against a trunk. "Can I smoke my pipe here, Stibbons?"
"Since technically you'll be smoking in the high-energy building, yes, sir."
Rincewind apparently struck a match on the tree trunk.
"Amazing," he said.
"That's odd, sir," said Ponder. "I didn't think there would be any proper trees yet."
"Well, here they are," said Ridcully, "and I can see at least another 3 more.
Rincewind had already started to run. The fact that nothing can harm you is no reason for not being scared. An expert can always find a reason for being scared. The fact that the nearest trunk had toenails was a good one. From among the ferns above, a large head appeared on the end of Too Much Neck.
"Ah," said Ridcully calmly, "still bloody lizards, I see."